Amen. Turn in your Bible and would you stand with me one more time, and I'll let you be seated at John chapter 11, verse 32. John 11, 32. Good to see everybody here today. John 11, 32 says, "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." What she's basically saying here is, I once had hope. If you would have made it on time, if you'd have gotten here before he drew his last breath, but her hope died when her brother died. If thou hadst been here, possibly Lazarus would still be with us. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said unto him, "Lord, come and see." And we have the shortest scripture in the Word of God, John chapter 11, verse 35, simply says, Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, "Behold how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died?" I don't know what you read into that, but I read that there were some mixed feelings about Jesus walking through the door that day. That maybe there was a little bit of anger. Maybe they were saddened because they felt like he could have done something about their problem. There are a few things in life that are worse than hopelessness. But when people give up hope, they don't last long, because it is hope that fuels the will. Hope fuels the will. But it is never too late as long as there is hope. And I want to preach to you this morning, hope isn't dead. Hope isn't dead. You may be seated today. I know we live in turbulent days. We live in times and we deal with issues that maybe we have never dealt with in our life. This world's been a pretty peaceful place my entire lifetime. Vietnam War kind of was wrapping up by the time I was born, and many of you are older than me, and you were part of that. You remember that. But the days that we have seen recently are signs of turbulence, signs of difficulties. And I believe that in great part, what is happening here is there is a losing of hope, that there is a feeling of hopelessness, of what's the point, of why even try. Amen. I've come to tell you this morning that I still believe that there is hope. I still believe in humanity. I still believe that Jesus Christ is still the answer for the world today. Amen. I believe that there is something great in our midst. I still believe in the Word of God where it says, "If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven and I will heal their land." I still believe that the Word of God still works. I still have a hope that goes beyond what the death and the destruction that I see all around me. I still have a hope because the Word of God is true and it's right and its promises are yea and amen. And I can stand upon those promises and believe. And because of that belief, I still have hope. Hope isn't dead. I would warn us today not to get caught up in all of the extremes. I'm not saying that there are not things that take place that are wrong. Absolutely, there are things that are wrong. I'm not saying that there is not evil and that we ought to turn a blind eye towards everything. Absolutely, not saying that at all. But what I am saying is, with everything that's going on and all the friction and terrorism and homegrown problems that we have and racism that still kind of comes into our midst every once in a while, that we need to be cautious and we need to be careful. Because let me just tell you my personal experience. I go to work and I work with black people. I go to my jobs and I see black people and white people laughing and cutting up and working together. I work with some of the finest men and women that are of African descent. They don't have the same color skin as I have, but guess what? I don't have the same color skin that they have. Here's what I got to say. What I have to say is this, is there are always extremes on both ends of the spectrum. And we do ourselves no favor when we catch ourselves following after very extreme things. And we have to remember that this is not typical. If we look around us, we will see that there are blacks and whites that are getting along just fine. Not everybody hates everybody, but there is a certain segment that tries to drive that hatred home. Can I tell you something? Some of the greatest people in my life that have impacted me as the greatest are not people that are Caucasian. I've heard some of the finest preachers. I've had some of the greatest friendships. I've seen some of the best workers in my life that are not like me. It's not about the color of our skin. It's about the mentality that is out there. I'm not against a color of anybody's skin, and I don't believe that most of my black friends are against any of the color of my skin. But what I am against is a mentality that tries to divide. When Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden," he didn't just say one color or one race or one group of people. He said, "All of ye that are weary and heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest." We have a problem, but let me tell you, there is an answer. Hope is not dead. Hope is not dead. Hope is still very much alive as long as we choose to keep it alive today. Amen. I love every person. I love every color. I love the fact that this church is multiracial, multicultural. I love the fact that we can come together and worship together. But I warn us not to be caught up in the extreme sides of things and not to see what is right in front of our own face, that we have brothers and sisters that are for us, that are on our side. Amen. This city does not need to be divided. This city needs to be brought together. Man, we need to come together and we need to pray and we need to care for each other and we need to look past the color of each other's skin. We need to look past all of those things. And if you'll look past the color of somebody's skin, you'll see that all of us bleed red. All of our blood is the same. Let me tell you something. I don't care. Somebody said it not too long ago. They said I was getting a blood transfusion. I didn't care whether it came from a black person, a yellow person, a white person, a Caucasian, an Afro-American person, a Hispanic person. It didn't matter because everybody's blood is the same. I'm telling you this morning, Jesus Christ wants us to come together. He wants us to look past things that seem to be hopeless. Let me tell you, we live in a world that wants to drive hopelessness down our throat, but we have hope in Jesus Christ. I love him today, and I'm thankful for his spirit that draws all the lines and throws them away and gets past all those things to where we can live in a world where we have love one for another. There was quite a crowd that day that had gathered when Jesus came into the city. Mary and Martha were there. He was there to see Lazarus. The mourners had gathered people that were there that were friends and neighbors to the two sisters whose brother now lay wrapped in grave clothes and laid him in a tomb to be put to rest. Let me tell you something about these mourners. The mourners were the people that had already accepted things for the way they were. You know, that's all really that you can do. If you get to the mindset that you just have to accept things for the way that they are, you will have nothing left to do but mourn because your hope is already dead. You've got to be able to still believe in Jesus Christ. You've got to still be able to believe that the power of the Holy Ghost can overshadow and overcome every single evil spirit in your life. The mourners were there on that day and they had already accepted what seemed to be the reality of the death of Lazarus. They had already put him in the burial vault. He'd been there for 4 days. They had watched him as they carried him into that tomb, which was to serve as that burial vault. And so he had been dead now for 4 days. They had looked at that body. They had not seen any life there. His breath was gone. And even after 4 days now, the smell of death was reeking in that tomb. Nobody assumed anything different. Everybody assumed that this was just the way it had to be. That he was dead and gone and they would just have to grieve. And nobody blamed them for feeling that way, because that's typically the way things go. All the formalities had taken place and the kind words had been spoken, and now there were still people there with the two sisters trying to console and comfort them in the time of grief. Just another fact of life that we don't understand sometimes when we look down at the casket into the face of someone that we love and wonder, why, God? Martha knew that it was over. And time for hoping was over. John recorded it in chapter 11. Martha said to Jesus, said, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. She didn't say, maybe my brother wouldn't have died. She was for sure. What made her feel that way? I'll tell you what made her feel that way. It was because of the relationship that they had had with Jesus Christ. You see, outside of the inner circle, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were probably some of the closest friends that Jesus had while he walked on this earth. They were tight. And so what she is literally saying here, because they had sent out the word, can you go tell Jesus that Lazarus is sick and that we need him to come right away? And maybe there's a little blame that's being pointed at Jesus here in her words, you know. I thought we meant more to you than that. And we were believers and we supported you. And I thought we had a friendship. I thought we were tight. And yet when we sent the word to you to come that Lazarus was sick, you delayed. We thought you'd drop everything. We thought you'd come. But obviously, you didn't take it that serious. Could this be what she was saying if we read between the lines? There was a time a few days ago when they had first sent for Jesus that they still clung to hope. If we can just get him here in time, maybe our brother can be saved. He's not that far away. With the friendship that we have, I'm sure that he'll be here just as soon as he possibly can. Surely he would rush right to the scene and take care of the situation, but he didn't do that. There was a delay. It's like, it's no big deal. This is what Jesus said when they came and told him, Mary, Martha are calling for you, Lazarus, your friend is sick. This is what he said. He said, this sickness will not end in death, but it is for the glory of God. That's good news to me. Jesus, the master, is telling me that, hey, don't worry about it. He's not going to die, or that's what they interpret him saying. But what he really said was, this sickness will not end in death, but this is for the glory of God. It wasn't that he wasn't going to die. They misinterpreted his meaning, and so he delays for a couple of days. But the whole time that he's delaying, they're sitting here, and the minutes seem like hours, and the hours seem like days, and then it turns into days, and no Jesus, and Lazarus is getting sicker, and he's looking more pale, and he's getting weaker with every moment, and every breath that he's breathing seems to be more and more labored, and they're wondering, surely he'll come, and then 2 days go by, and he's still not there, and they stand there beside Lazarus, and they watch their brother that they love, and they know that Jesus loves as he draws his last breath.
I guess Jesus was wrong. And now, instead of celebrating a miracle of healing, and everybody's sitting around saying, oh, Jesus saved the day, we're going to have some supper and we'll celebrate now. Instead of that, they're attending a funeral. You know, sometimes things don't go the way that we think that they ought to go. And we feel like there's a promise, and all of a sudden it feels like everything just fell apart in the middle of that promise. See, it wasn't just the funeral for Lazarus that they were attending. It was the funeral of the hope that they had. Because when Lazarus died, hope died with him. No one expected anything now but some sympathy and a few consoling words. Be praying for you. Anything we can do, let us know. We'll be there for you. Some people mean that, and some people just say that in the middle of
the crisis, and then you never hear from them again. Nobody expected anything now but for Jesus to walk in, be a part of the mourners. I look at this whole thing and I wonder how many people get up every day and look in the mirror and they see Lazarus. Lazaruses of the world that at one point in their life, at certain spots, it seemed to be reasonable to expect something great, but not anymore. They look at themselves and the time for hope for them is long past in their minds. I wonder how many times I've been guilty of looking at somebody and saying, God, if you could have got a hold of them when they were younger. If you could have gotten a hold of them before they messed everything up. If you could have got a hold of them before drugs got involved or alcohol got involved or all these other illicit things played into their life. If you could have got a hold of them before that, maybe there would have been a little bit of hope for them. But we look at people like they have already been put in the grave sometimes, or I do. I've been guilty of looking at people and say, it's pointless, it's hopeless, there's no hope left for them. They're so far gone that they've been put away in the vault and I've already put the stone over and everything about it just reeks of death. Nothing will ever change. They've already got themselves wrapped in grave clothes. They've already had a stone rolled in front of the tomb of their life that seals off any source of light. And they're surrounded by nothing but darkness. And the time for miracles in their life seems to be over. They've just accepted things for what they are. Nothing to do here but mourn for the dead. Good old Thomas, he always had a way with words. He said, let us also go that we may die with him. Nice. Thank you for that words of encouragement, Brother Thomas. Nobody's looking at there saying, hang in there. Come on, Lazarus. Hang in there. You can make it. Nobody's at his bedside hoping that Jesus will walk through the door. Now it's too late for anything to be done. And we look at people just like that sometimes, as if their life is already over. As if there's nothing that nobody can do. The church can't do anything for them. We can't pray hard enough. We can't get them in an altar soon enough. God himself can't even change their life. But let me tell you something today. If you'll look back just a few years, there were some of us that were just like old Lazarus. There were some of us without hope. There were some of us that didn't seem like we had anything going for us. There were some of us that were wrapped up in drugs and alcohol. There were some of us where people had already cut us off and sealed us off, and we found ourselves into a dark place. But then came along Jesus Christ and he said, come on out of there. You don't have to stay there. Amen. He gave us promises, and those promises are full of hope. Don't let hope die. It's not dead yet. Jesus had different plans because he saw things differently than everyone else did. He saw life where everyone else saw death. I love what one of our preachers said one time. He started a work out in Florida somewhere. I don't remember which city. He said the Lord spoke to him one day and he said, if you'll reach the people that nobody wants, I'll send you the people that everybody wants. So he didn't go after the doctors and the lawyers and the city officials. He went after the hurting. He went after the wounded. He went after what most people would call the throwaways. He started handing out turkeys at Thanksgiving and got the grocery stores involved. And I don't know how many hundreds of turkeys, the guy, frozen turkeys, he handed out to the less fortunate around Thanksgiving. And his church grew to 30 and then 50 and then 100 and 150. Last I heard, he was upwards of 300 and some odd people running in his church. And then all of a sudden, in through the door came the doctors. In through the door came the lawyers.
Into the door came the people that could help support and help minister and help reach. And but there was always some that were against it. One person, you know, because when you're dealing with that kind of stuff, you know what you got? Sometimes you got a little chaos. Sometimes you got people that don't understand, hey, how this is the house of God. We need to respect it. They're just here to have fun because somebody feeds them some Kool-Aid and some cookies on a Wednesday night. Somebody sits down and actually treats them like they matter. They're just here not because of anything. They don't even realize that they're being taught, but they're just here because somebody shows them a little bit of attention and somebody acts like they matter and somebody will take the time to listen to them and somebody will look them in the eye instead of shoving them off in a corner and saying, go outside and play, because somebody looks at them and calls them by their name, and they found in that there is some hope, that God is still reaching out to them. There is some hope in their life. Hope isn't dead. Hope is very much alive in the church that believes in Jesus Christ and that He has a power to resurrect somebody. I don't care how bad it looks. He has a power to resurrect them from the darkness of this world. Jesus still saw hope when everybody else's hope had run out. He said, if you think I'm going to give up on this guy just because you put him in a grave, you're wrong. Because I'm going to use Lazarus for God's glory. There's some glory that's going to come. I'm sure he said, didn't they tell you that I said this story wouldn't end in death? Didn't I say that? I said, this sickness is not unto death, but this is unto the glory of God. We get all bent out of shape when God doesn't do it when we think He should. But the delay led to the death, which led to the miracle, which led to greater faith in God, which led to God getting the glory. There's a progression that sometimes must take place in our lives that take us into some very dark and lonely places. There's a progression, not a recession, a progression that takes you into some places that are uncomfortable and takes you into some places where you feel all alone and you feel like you've been left in the dark. But I'm not here to mourn for you. I'm here to worship God, because God, if you're working through Him and He's working in you, is about ready to roll some stones away in your life. There's some light on the other side of that stone. He said, where have you put him? I want to see him for myself. They said, come on, we'll take you down there. In essence, what they were doing was they were taking him to see a dead man, not realizing that things were about ready to change. Yeah, we've already mourned. We know exactly where he's at. Come on, we'll take you down and let you see his corpse. We'll take you down and let you see his body. But I'm telling you right now, you don't want to roll that stone away, because what's on the other side of that is ugly. It doesn't smell so good. God may take you through some places that, if you just look at it, real plain English, stink. But He's not taking you there to leave you in that. It's simply a way to give God more glory through your life. Don't you hang on to that stone when God decides to move it. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, come to the grave. It was a cave, and the stone lay upon it. And the stone was there to keep anything from coming in or out. But Jesus knew that if there was to be life, if Lazarus was to live, that the barrier had to be removed. I'm speaking to somebody today. I know it. I can feel it. Why do you think the Word of God says lay aside the weight that so easily besets you? So I can get to you, God? No, sometimes it's so God can get to you. It's not always so you can find him. He knows where you're at, but the barriers and the weights sometimes they block God from being able to get to you. You know God is omniscient. He's everywhere. He's in all things. He knows everything. You are not lost. You are not in a place where he can't find you. He knows exactly how to reach you, but sometimes there's a barrier that must be removed before God can begin to do the miracle in your life. Jesus understood that, and he said, take away the stone. And the old mourners, the ones without hope, you know what they did? They said, you don't want to do that. That stone's heavy, but that stone is also keeping some things hidden, keeping some things behind it that are unpleasant. They're not so good. It's not going to be good, Jesus. If we remove that stone, it's not going to smell good. His body's decaying. Just remember him the way he was. Anybody ever heard that? You're better off just to remember him the way he was. When we were sitting around and smiling and laughing and having a good time, you don't want to see what's behind that stone. He said, move it. Because he had intentions that they could not understand. Jesus didn't care what he looked like. He didn't care about the way that he smelled. All he cared about was giving him a second chance at new life. All he cared about was keeping his promise that this sickness would not end in death. This was not the end of the story. Lazarus in a tomb and everybody mourning. He said, get that stone out of the way. Lazarus isn't going to need a barrier. He's going to need a door because things are about ready to change. If our music would come this morning. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. If you want to see somebody that appreciates life, talk to somebody that's been given a second chance at it. Somebody that's been diagnosed. Said, you've only got 6 months to live, yet 20 years later, they're still doing just fine. They look and see things differently. Somebody that's a cancer survivor, they treat life differently. They see things differently than somebody that's never faced death. Jesus simply looked and he said, Lazarus, come forth. The Bible says, and he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. Would you stand with me this morning? The first barrier was a barrier of stone. It was big. It was heavy. But even after that barrier was done, there were still some things that bound him. Things that impeded his view. Jesus never asked Lazarus to take his own grave clothes off. He asked the onlookers to help with that. Jesus never asked Lazarus to move his own stone. It was the church that helped with that. Those that had gathered, the friends, the family. We have a job to do because there are the Lazarus of this world, and some of them are right here in this very service today. And you're wondering, how am I ever going to lose this thing that has me bound? How am I ever going to? You do it by allowing the church to help you. You do it by hearing the word of God and applying the word of God. See, hope isn't dead. I don't care who's preached that mantra to you over and over again, saying that you'll never change, that God can't do anything with you, that you might as well just accept the facts. This is who you are. This is the way you were born. This is how you were raised. All of those different things that play into somebody giving you an excuse to stay in that tomb. But Jesus is calling somebody's name today, and he's saying, come forth. Come forth. I wonder if we could gather in this morning. I feel like there's something that's just kind of, there's some bindings that are on us today. I wonder if we could just raise our hands. I wonder if we could just raise our hands and say, thank you, Jesus. I'm no longer in a tomb. No longer in darkness. I'm no longer hopeless. I'm certainly not helpless anymore. God, if you'll allow me to today, Lord, I'm willing to step out of this darkness into the marvelous light. God, I'm willing to allow you to begin to move. God, thank you for a brand new life. Thank you for a second chance. Thank you, God, for bringing hope back into a hopeless situation. If you need hope today, this is your opportunity. Because God is speaking to you and he's calling you. Come out from the darkness. Come out from the dark places. Come out from the place that seemed to have sealed you off. He's calling your name today. Would you just help me worship him for a few moments this morning?